Hello, everybody. How you doing? It's Wednesday, April 8th. I hope everybody's okay out there. And I wanted to offer another meditation here today, a guided practice on what's known as metta vipassana and why that's maybe different than vipassana and what it is that we're looking for when we practice. There's so much meditation out there now that I know sometimes when I talk to people who are new, they're often asking me, they're not even sure what it is they're trying to see or to look for or to understand. So just in the classic Vipassana sense, so Vipassana, also known as insight meditation, insight is the English translation of the Pali term Vipassana, which is really the reason why mindfulness has become the popular practice that it has. Mindfulness and Vipassana are different, but they do fall under the same heading, the same category of practice. If we go to the Insight Meditation Center in Barre, Massachusetts, we're going to practice a lot of mindfulness. But when I started sitting retreats there 20 some odd years ago, they didn't use the word mindfulness so much. It was very much Vipassana. And Vipassana being a practice that was really brought to the lay community, brought out of the monastery into the lay community by Lady Sayadaw in Burma in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the turn of the century, wanting to make a practice that could be done for people who are not in the monastery, which would probably be most of you, probably all of you. So in Vipassana, the primary interest, the primary focus of what we're trying to have insight into, what we're trying to recognize or to see or to actually experience in real time, is what is classically known as the three characteristics or the three hallmarks of experience. And that all experience, everything that we experience in the world and life and our minds, is ever-changing. It's anicca, impermanence, the reality that things are in constant change and flux, which is probably one of the easiest ones to understand conceptually. Of course, we all know that everything changes. You could stand outside of a grocery store and interview everybody who came out and said, "Do things change?" And everybody would say yes. But we don't always factor that in when we experience life. So anicca, its common characteristic or its common translation is impermanence, but more so, it really means non-absolute. So the Buddha essentially doesn't do absolutes. This is or this is not. He doesn't do concrete. So non-absolute just means nothing's fixed, nothing's set a certain way. And because of the steady flow of change, when we do Vipassana, we're trying to see this. We want to see that things are changing. Of course, the in and out breath are changing, sounds are changing. There's a lot of things that are changing, and we want to be able to experience that, not to just know that, but to experience the reality of change. We also want to be aware and to recognize and to wake up to the reality of dukkha, which I could talk about all day. This grossly misunderstood term dukkha, which is usually translated as suffering, which we're unfortunately sort of stuck with that translation. Dukkha, essentially an impossible term to translate, but it really points to this dimension, I think is the way to think about it. The way that I currently think about it is that life, like it or not, has a dimension to it that is of the tragic nature. Birth, old age, sickness and death, coming into contact with that which we don't want, being separated from the things that we do want, and just having to live in the stress of this mind-body emotional system. Tan Jeff, who is a very famous and skilled English-speaking American, actually, monk who has translated the Pali Canon, he translates dukkha as stress, which is probably pretty good for us English-speaking minds. But what he's pointing to is to just being alive, just having to deal with the demands of the body, having to eat and take care of ourselves and deal with pain, that life is stressful. And this is something that we're not trying to end. I don't want to go on and on about my attitude and feelings about the ongoing misunderstandings of the Four Noble Truths. I'll save that for another morning, but the idea that we're going to end dukkha is going to really be problematic because it's not going to happen. So we want to basically have insight into dukkha. Now, think about it, really. If dukkha is a characteristic of all phenomenon, how could you possibly end it other than the fact that you die? And, you know, that's not what we're trying to do here. So dukkha is something that we need to comprehend, that we need to embrace, we need to accept and to recognize and to really have a sense of compassion and kindness towards this tragic dimension of life, which is why I teach metta vipassana rather than just vipassana. And then the third characteristic is that of the self, anatta, which an, the prefix an, just means not, just like anicca is not permanent, not absolute. Anatta is not self. So everything that we think is the self is not the self. It's a feeling in the body, a thought in the mind, an emotion. We are so caught in this illusion of self, but it's nowhere to be found. But of course, this again is another massive concept here in the Buddhist lexicon and philosophy. I'll put that aside for another day. So the fact that everything's changing, everything is stressful, and it all appears and feels to be happening to me. These are the things we really want to wake up to. We want to have insight. We want to penetrate into those experiences, but we want to do that with kindness, because these three characteristics, waking up to these, can be insanely destabilizing, can be very upsetting, and can really give people a bit of a crisis, actually. So another way to think about metta, one of the ways metta is understood in the earliest teachings in the Sutta Nipata, which is the oldest stratum of the canon, is how we see the world. So we see the world as ever-changing, but do we see it with a sense of ease, with a sense of acceptance and a kindness? It's okay that everything's changing. Do we see the dissatisfaction, the tragic dimension, the sense of loss, of pain, of sorrow, of disappointment, of all these things that live in this tragic dimension? Can we see that with a sense of ease and kindness and acceptance? Can we see ourselves? This maybe is the hardest and perhaps the most important aspect of metta, and that is to see ourselves through the lens of kindness, to be at ease with ourselves, with our difficulties, with our benefits, with our pros and our cons, and the things about ourselves that we like and the things about ourselves that we don't like. Can we just see that through the lens of a sort of a benevolent experience? So when we're doing metta vipassana, we're taking this mind state, this attitude, this way of seeing into these three characteristics of experience. We're seeing them, but we're also seeing them through a lens, through an attitude, through a filter of metta. And if you're able to really do this, I find this to be the most probably important and stabilizing and practice that is going to be helpful to you all the way down the line, which is why it's my primary practice that I teach. It's the primary practice that I practice on my own. And it's also the practice that I use in my mentoring training program with people who work with me one-on-one. I teach and practice and develop a system of metta vipassana that leads to the cultivation of the Eightfold Path. So with that, you can reflect on some of these ideas and perhaps allow yourself to get comfortable enough to do a seated practice. So you can allow your body to find an upright position, allowing the mind to be relaxed but alert, finding some ease and comfort in the body as best that you can, allowing the eyes to close, and we'll start and end the meditation with the bell. So bringing your full awareness, your full experience into the present time, acknowledging the range of experience available to you in this moment. There is a body. There is a body sitting, a body breathing, hearing sounds, thinking thoughts, having feelings, maybe even some emotion. All of that is happening here right now. And so you can bring your full awareness into the rising and falling of the in and out breath, breathing in, feeling all of the sensations of the in breath. Breathing in, connecting and sustaining your attention with the full length of the in breath. Breathing out, same thing. Feeling all of the sensations in the body as you breathe out. Connecting and sustaining your attention into the full length of the out-breath. And allowing yourself to cultivate and practice this mindfulness of breathing here on your own for the next minute. Bringing your full awareness to the sensations of the rising and falling of the in and out breath, anchoring the attention in this experience as we progress through this practice session. And bringing to mind this attitude of kindness and ease. So bringing awareness to the sensations of the rising and falling of the sitting, breathing body with a sense of ease, allowing things to be as they are, and to view your experience, your present time experience, through the lens of a kind and friendly attitude towards whatever it is that is about to arise, whatever can be felt or known, to be met with a kind and friendly attitude. And as we open our experience, our awareness and mindfulness towards the reality of anicca, of change. And so to be with experience, to be with present time, real time experience is to be with change. So you're actually just watching and experiencing the changing nature of the in and out breath, constantly changing. The words that are coming out of my mouth constantly changing, the way you perceive these words, everything is in change. So to be at ease with change, the speed of change, the feeling of change, all of the ways in which you're relating to the present time experience is how you're relating to change. And to practice this kind and friendly attitude and mindfulness of breathing as you experience ever-going change. I'm practicing that again for another minute. and reflecting back onto the reality of change, and to acknowledge, may I be at ease with the reality of change. May I learn to develop a kind and friendly attitude towards all of the change in my life. All of the pleasant change, unpleasant change, uncertain change, fear, anything that is associated with change. May I learn to be at ease with the experience of change, and allowing ourselves to just open and experience the rising and falling of the in and out breath within this space of change, and opening our minds and our experience to the reality of dukkha, the reality of any stress that you might be feeling, the whole range of stress, from the most mild sense of irritation or discomfort all the way through any type of intense sadness or pain or loss that you're currently experiencing. In saying yes, acknowledging this tragic dimension of life that we all share, the reality of loss, of pain, of losing what we love, coming into contact with that which is disagreeable, painful. This tragic dimension of life encompasses this range of dukkha. This is not something to get rid of, something to meditate beyond. This is something that we need to embrace. So as we breathe into the reality of any kind of stress, difficulty, offering a sense of kindness and ease, may I be at ease with stress. May I be at ease with fear. May I be at ease with my body, with my mind and my thoughts. May I be at ease with my emotions and my feelings. And may I be at ease with all of the challenges that I encounter as I move through the world. This constant characteristic and companion of dukkha. May I view this with an attitude of kindness and friendliness as we experience the ever-changing flow of life and its stressful nature. Breathing that in, breathing that out, holding that with whatever amount of ease and kindness and friendliness as you can. May I be at ease with stress, and practicing that here again for another minute. Breathing in, breathing out, allowing the mind and body to be at ease as best you can, reflecting back on the reality of change and dukkha, reflecting on these universal experiences that we all share, these characteristics of life. Life has a dimension of ever-changing movement and a quality of a dimension that is tragic and painful, scary and hard to be with. Of course, this is not all there is, but we no longer want to be in denial about any of the stress, fear, worry, or anguish of our lives, but to meet that with a kind and friendly attitude. Moving into this third aspect of all experience, this reality of self. And here we are not so concerned with the not-self or the non-self, but cultivating an attitude of kindness and friendliness towards whatever sense of self for you is arising right now, whether it's the enjoyable self, the disagreeable self, the scared self, the worried self, the content self, the meditating self. Whatever sense of a self that you're getting right now, the practice is just to cultivate this. May I be at ease with myself. May I be at peace with myself. May I be content with myself just as I am right now. So cultivating this kind and friendly attitude towards ourselves and whatever it is that we're experiencing in the domain of ourselves. And practicing that again for another minute. And as we open to this experience of metta vipassana, cultivating a kindness and a friendliness, a sense of ease towards each moment as it arises and passes, understanding very clearly and seeing in our own direct experience that we are in this ever-changing flow of events of our lives and constant change, which carries with it a stressful nature, at times hard to be with, hard to see, not easy to accept. And this arrives in the experience of it feeling like this is a person in which all of this is happening to. This is all happening to me, or I am the one who is creating all of this. Putting that aside, and just allowing yourself to be a verb, a constant, ever-changing state of experience with all of its many versions, the worried self, the happy self, the scared self, the preoccupied self, the self of ignorance, the self of honesty, of dishonesty. All of these versions of ourselves are just these temporary experiences. So may I be at ease with the ever-changing flow of experience. May I be at ease with all of the challenging, stressful, and difficult experiences of my life. And may I be at ease with myself and learn to develop a kind and friendly attitude towards myself. I hope you move through the day with ease, appreciate you spending some time with here this morning. And I hope that you find this practice to be as useful as I have. And I'll be back again tomorrow. And until then, be well out there, y'all.